This is the Careering into Motherhood podcast, and I'm Jane Johnson. In this series, I talk to some of our partner coaches and ask them what are the five best pieces of advice that they've either had or that they like to share with their clients. It's my hope that in sharing this, you'll not only get some food for thought for your own career path, but you'll also get an idea about how our coaches work with their clients and the value that they can bring. You can catch up and find out more about all of our coaches on the Careering into Motherhood website, careeringintomotherhood.com. My guest today is Emily Bell, a confidence coach who works with clients in a range of industries and anyone from chief execs to mid-level. She has a background in communications and marketing and was head of creative at the Fair Trade Foundation before becoming a coach. What you'll hear in this interview is the way Emily combines pure goal-orientated coaching with giving clients relevant tools and exercises. She doesn't tell clients what to do, but asks lots of questions and ensures that they have a clear written plan of action. Let's hear her top five pieces of career advice. Do you know, this is very funny, but I know you are this very interesting mix of career coach, but also stylist, kind of into colours and working with clients on that. So right before this interview, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to put some red lipstick on.
Well, as you know, I'm not wearing red lipstick today. I'm wearing a dress in my perfect kind of colour. It's like a corally orange. I was stopped Lovely. In the supermarket. It happens a lot. Since I've had my colours done, I get stopped a lot. And to the point where friends kind of like, does that happen? Like when people stop me in the park, I'm like, yeah, it does a lot. And it's only because I suppose now I know that this colour is so good on my skin tone and it's just the right shade. And I test, you know, it's just the way it is. But people often tell me that they feel the pressure when they're around me to bring their colour game.
And there you go. Well, I felt it this morning.
Well, please don't. And I think your lipstick looks very lovely.
Thank you. But yes, I'm absolutely delighted to have you on the podcast. I'm really interested to have this conversation, as I say, because you do have the blend of sort of looking at, I don't know, it's not looking at what people wear, but how you, I guess it's a version of how you can bring or be your best self, is it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, I've been working now for 5 years, and to begin with, I thought I was going to head off and coach creatives. That was my background. I thought, right, all those creative people I loved working with, those are the people I'm going to work with, and I'm going to inspire, I'm going to help, and they're going to be. And actually, I realized that that was nothing where I ended up. And I realized that actually everyone in that first few years wanted a bit more confidence. It really came down to confidence. And that's why I do talk about myself as a confidence coach, even though a lot of my work is around career and career change. And it's not always massive plan B career change. It's sometimes it's for the job you're in. Not everyone wants to do something completely different or set up their own business. Actually, some people love what they do. They're just not very happy. And I think the words that people always use with me are stuck. I feel stuck. And that's where confidence comes in. And obviously then for me, the coloured bit, the colours and what you wear bit came in, because actually if you feel your very best, then actually that's like one little step along the line. And if you're, I always, after I had my children, I went back working part time. Everyone in my office wore jeans and t-shirts, and I would kind of go in my best. And I would always look a little bit overdressed. But because the other half of my week was filled with jeans and t-shirts and baby groups. And I was like, I want to actually arrive at work, head of creative. I want to be looking good, right? And I remember that feeling of feeling overdressed, but then kind of owning it and really enjoying the ritual of getting dressed on those work mornings and getting up and getting out and getting to the office and doing my thing. So it comes under that umbrella of confidence coach, because I think everyone, and it's not just women, I work with men as well as women, but around that, just talking things through and actually building confidence. And actually, when you feel a bit more confident, you can kind of do anything. You feel you can do anything.
That's really interesting. So were you during lockdown, when we were all barely getting dressed, getting out of our pajamas, were you still putting on
the bright dresses and clothes.
Always getting dressed. I noticed I didn't wear the dresses as much. I do have quite a lot of maxi dresses, and I tell you, maxi dresses and stairs in houses are not much fun. As anyone who's ever worn a maxi dress, I noticed I didn't wear as many of the nicer things. So it's really nice to be back in these kind of going out clothes. But no, I always get dressed, always. And I don't really do trackies or leisure wear.
I do
sportswear when I do sport. But I don't really do loungewear.
Lovely. I can't see you in a tracksuit, it must be said. And I should say for our listeners, Emily's wearing a lovely, as she says, coral dress with very nicely accessorised. So yeah, I don't think slobbing around in your Adidas is your thing.
Well, you know, I'm definitely, I always think it's when I don't want to be seen, that's when I'll wear black. So I very rarely wear black. I'll either wear black or I do have one pair of trackies, and that's when I want to kind of disappear a little bit.
Interesting. So I wanted to, we're sort of working through this idea of when my guests come on the podcast, asking you with all of your experience and obviously with your coaching eyes as well, what are the top five pieces of career advice that you have either received or that you stand by? So if we can get going, we will do it in reverse order. I'll do it like the charts. In at number five.
Oh, see, I haven't really put them in an order. I'm looking at them now. I'm just going to go with the one that's at the bottom. We've been talking a little bit about clothes, so I'll come back to that later. But actually, no one is ever ready. No one is ever ready. I often think about chief execs and people in very senior positions. I also know a few chief execs, and I know that they sit there going, not sure what I'm doing here, not sure what to do here. And I think we always feel that everyone else has got it together. And we often, I find, and I'm my part of my job as a coach, but as a advice that I was given is actually start before you're ready. No one is ever ready. We're all human. And whether that's for making a change, getting a promotion, going for a new job, taking a leap of faith, actually the best thing you can do is just start and then learn from there. I think testing out how something goes, I mean, obviously that's a bit different with a job and things like that, but actually maybe just before, if you're thinking about going for a slightly a grade up on a role or something like that, is actually put the application in, get some feedback. You might get some feedback around, actually, you're missing this, you're missing that. And you can start to fill those gaps. I don't think anyone's ever quite ready. And I think I've learned so much from taking that leap of faith and just going for it and learning as you go, rather than waiting for it to be perfect. And then you actually sometimes get stuck in complete inaction. And that in itself is incredibly frustrating.
That is so true. Such a great piece of advice or comment, sort of view or summary on things. And I, from personal experience as well, looking back, you know, when I left my secure PAYE job to step off and start my own thing, and then that has gradually evolved into what we're doing now. If I had waited until I thought, right, now is the time, rather than just, I'm quite, I do just throw caution to the wind and just get going on stuff. If I'd waited, I don't think things would have been any better, or possibly I don't think they would have been any different, because now I feel that what I'm doing now is the culmination of all the things that I did wrong in the past and learned and moved this sort of idea of a windy path to get to where I am now. And it's still not, you know, I wouldn't say by any means that this is it and this is perfect at all. So that's a great piece of advice.
And I was made redundant. So that forced, like, there are these moments where actually I'd been thinking about working for myself for a good few years and I wanted it to fit with my family, et cetera, et cetera. But I was too scared about what was on the other side of the door. And actually the fear really set in. But actually my hand was forced by being made redundant. And actually I was forced to go and make that, the decision was made for me. It actually, I have to say, was the best thing that ever happened. Even though it was painful, it really was the best thing that ever happened.
The other thing is that we are so resourceful, especially as women. I don't want to, I mean, I do generalize, but we will make things work. We will talk to friends. We will put the word around at the school gate. If there's something we need, we can make it happen. But if you, as you say, if you sit there and think, oh, I'm not ready yet, I don't know if the time's right, trust in yourself and your own resourcefulness.
100%. And that kind of then comes on to point number two.
There we go.
I mean, we segue beautifully. Because my second one is be brave. Be brave. Put those brave pants on. And even, you know, that idea around feel the fear and do it anyway is something that I think is, we all have to put that brave face on. Even the most confident person in the world, that chief exec or the person who is a massively extroverted, confident person, has to dig into brave sometimes. And getting into that position where you back yourself and realizing that nothing's going to change if nothing changes. Nothing changes if nothing changes. And therefore, go and see what's out there. And the example I've got there is that I was in my first job. I was like 22. I was in fundraising. It was very, I'm not a great fundraiser. I'm a good communicator, but I would say asking for money, and I was working in corporate fundraising. And we were really struggling. It was a sight loss charity. And I went to a conference, and it was the marketing director of a very large retailer. I don't know if I'm allowed to say brand names on here.
Oh, yes, of course you are.
Oh, yeah, well, it's not Tesco. The marketing director at Tesco was one of the speakers, and I sat there and she said, I am giving you permission to be brave and approach me with something that is a little bit out there, a little bit left field. And I went back to my manager and I said, I've got an idea. Blind people can't see flowers, but they can smell them. And I'd love to do a kind of on-pack promotion or something with Tesco, with flowers. I want to buy some flowers from Tesco. I want to stick a label on them and we'll hand deliver them, because she gets proposals, you know, on an email every day, every week. And actually, I knew that that creative part of my brain was just kind of desperate to do something that was just totally left field. I did it, got on the train, went all the way up to Cheshunt, I literally knocked on Tesco head office, 22 years old. Hello, I'd like to deliver these Tesco flowers to the Tesco flower buyer, please. And we got a meeting.
Amazing.
We had never got into Tesco. And the most interesting thing was that it didn't go anywhere. But we got the meeting, and I remember squashing in. It was like going into a rabbit hutch and like squashing into one of those little cubicles trying, you know, there's one flower buyer for the whole of Tesco. And she was pretty overworked. So it didn't go anywhere. But, you know, that was, you know, 20 plus years ago. And I still find myself very proud of that moment. But my God, I had to be brave to go up to North London and do that. And actually, I think if you think back to the times when you have taken that deep breath and just gone for it, interesting things happen.
It's so true. Yeah, they really do. That's another sort of a segue into your next top tip.
I'm looking at my list that I didn't order, but actually I think then it's being able to proudly articulate your strengths. I knew that I was good at really creative thinking. Like I've always challenged that way that we've done things around here. I've just got that type of brain. And then it doesn't surprise me that I went from fundraising into a kind of marketing publications role and then into a creative, head of creative, because actually I am just a really innately, it's a trait within me that I've got that creative thinking process. I find that very easy. That's when I am most in flow. It's when you think about your zone of genius. I would definitely say that creative thinking, kind of thinking about creative ways to deliver something, is definitely something that I would say is a super strength of mine. And so it's all good and well knowing your strengths, which I know a lot of people kind of work on, like, okay, I want a new job, I'm going to think about my strengths. But being able to articulate them and talk about them and be really, really proud of them, and to be able to then, in a work situation, push back and say, do you know what? That isn't actually my strength. I would be really good to do this, but I know my colleague here I'd work really well with my colleague who would complement my skills and strengths. So actually being able to articulate them and talk about them and not kind of mumble them and apologize for them, I would say would be my third piece of advice. And to really sit with that, when do I feel most in flow? When does work feel easy? When, what do other people come to me for? And those are your strengths. And if you can get down to a handful of really clear things that you love, both love and are good at, my goodness, work happiness comes into that space.
Yes, I totally agree. I see where you're coming from. I want to unpick a little bit, though, this idea of being able to articulate them and confidently, to use, you know, come bring back confidence. This is where it, you know, it does come into that being brave, put your brave pants on. It doesn't sit very well with a lot of us, especially in a work environment or when you're applying for jobs, if you've had time out or you're not sure what your, you know, you've sort of lost your identity a little bit. Identifying your core skills is one thing, but then articulating them, it's not, it doesn't come easily to a lot of people, and it doesn't come easily to me at all, as you can probably tell. So I guess, do you have any tips and advice? Because although mentally you could say, yes, absolutely, I can understand what Emily's saying and I totally agree, but actually convincing yourself to do it is another matter.
Yeah. So let's say, okay, let's use an example. I think, you know, maybe, you know, even if you've taken time out, even if you've got this gap and you're trying to get back into the job market, something like being super organized. You know, it's a skill that people want in all sorts of jobs, but being organized within a workplace is often a skill that I see on many a JD that's something you need to be able to demonstrate. I would say to then drill down in what, like, how do you do what you do? Like, if you're thinking, okay, I think being organized is one of the really good things that I'm really good at, it's a strength of mine. Like, how do you do what you do? Because it's all good and well saying I'm organized, but actually, what do you do to get organized? We often get a bit stuck on just saying what we do rather than how we do it. What's your approach? Like, you make something look easy, whereas trust me, there are whole rafts of people who find it incredibly difficult. When you can start to drill down, oh yeah, so this feels very normal and natural to me, but actually seeing that in itself is a real benefit. And then I would say, in terms of the articulation, is to use active sentences. So I am really organized. So you're scripting it out. And I would definitely say scripting out things you want to say, like typing them out, writing them out, definitely get them out of your head, talk about them with a friend or a coach. And then you can, I always say to clients, type them out. And then what you're going to do is you're going to learn it. You're going to learn it. It is your words anyway, but you're basically going to condense that down. And using those active sentences, using I, because you're starting to convince yourself and telling your brain, this is me. I am really organized, and this is the way I do it, and this is how I do it, and this kind of job is where I'll do it best. And I think those are the kind of things to start with, that single word, organized, super organized, you know, efficient, whatever. And then you drill down, like, where you are able to do that, and how you do it, and then script it out as a sentence, really. And I would definitely also say, using that star format, especially for job seekers, but just to use that, the situation, the task, the action, the result, is definitely where you can structure maybe a little script to give an example of when you're super organized.
This is interesting, this star format. Would you just, it's obviously second nature to you, would you just go through that a little bit more? Sorry, you said situation.
Yeah, so STAR is an acronym that our good friend Google will pull up an awful lot of information. And I'm sure there's people on our Careering Into Motherhood blog who have written about it. And if not, I'd be very willing to write one. Is that it's an acronym that you can use to basically keep yourself really succinct in an interview situation. So sometimes, I mean, I remember back when I was interviewing, I would just find myself kind of waffling along and I'm like, I'm still talking and I really need to stop and I don't know how to stop. So it's to really help with those competency-based questions that are, tell me about a time when, or when have you done this skill, whatever it might be. And then you can then draw into your bank of stories, your star stories, and you start with the situation. You then talk about the task that needed resolving. You then talk about A, which is the action I took. So it's really important here that it's not the team effort. You know, you're in an interview, you're PRing yourself. It's the action I took. You can obviously build in any team stuff there too, but they really want to hear what you did. And then the result. I also think there's really worth also adding an I and an L at the end, which is impact and learning, because sometimes if something doesn't go quite as you planned, then your learnings are really going to be helpful. And impact is slightly longer term than result. So the STAR format is a really good way of shaping your thoughts if you're preparing for an interview. I also help people put these kind of stories into their CVs as well, because really powerful. Rather than generalized summaries of this is what I did, you tell them one story and it's really compelling. So it's definitely worth looking up that as a format if you're preparing, but also when you're thinking about strength.
Amazing. So helpful. Thank you. So let's move on to number four.
Yes. So I think working your network, it's not something I really did masses of, but actually working your network, thinking about who do you know. We do not have to do it all on our own. And I think there are times when we feel very, very lost, very stuck. Actually, one of the best things you can do is lean on your network, speak to people. And in fact, I was speaking to a client who I've just kept in touch with just last week, and she spent a good few months really pushing out to her network, having virtual coffees, having in-person meetings, messaging people, using LinkedIn, really drawing into who her network was and knowing what she was now offering as a consultant. And it's all come to fruition, and I'm utterly delighted for her. But on the back of that conversation, I was then talking to another person who was just stepping into the freelance, networking world. And he was feeling very, very anxious and nervous about it. And I was immediately able to connect to them. But actually, if you think about if someone asked you for a bit of help, a bit of advice, you know, can I just pick your brains about something? If someone asked you, chances are, you'd say absolutely 100%. I can give you half an hour. And actually, if that, we have to just step through that cringe factor. We have to be brave and have to remember no one's ever quite ready. I would say prepare for those conversations and have very clear questions or objectives for what you want out of that individual conversation. But actually your network is big, even if you've been out of work. When I first started out coaching, I just spoke to everyone. Like, how are you, Emily? Gosh, I haven't seen you for ages. Oh, I'm training to be a coach. Oh, that's really interesting. Everyone was interested. People are interested and they want to help.
Yes, definitely. And I know, just for any listeners who haven't seen it, you did a really, really great short vlog on our website about networking. It's such a gem. You should definitely check that out. The other thing is, I always think, you know, we tend to be, again, back to this sort of self-effacing, you know, idea. When you use the word networking, women don't tend to sort of say, yes, I'm a great networker, because it conjures ideas of working a room and so on. And yet I think women are phenomenal networkers. If you just look at the school gate, we build relationships with people. We do so much networking on behalf of our kids. We just need to put the professional lens over that. If you are looking for work and you perhaps not having an awful lot of luck going the traditional channels with recruiters and so on, as you say, use that network, tell people, talk to people about what you're looking for and what you're doing. It's such a great piece of advice.
And I would also say, if the word network makes you feel sick, change the word. It's simply a conversation. Just give it another name. Give it another name that makes more sense to you. Networking makes me just think of like Hilton hotels and men in grey suits, basically. And it makes me, and I've been to some of those kind of events where I'm like, there I am in my red dress, because I always wear a red dress. But actually, I've been to enough of them to be like, this is definitely not for me. But I've also been to enough where the energy, and you kind of don't want it to end, and I've made some really great connections. So maybe connecting is another better word, but find your word. And and use it and talk to yourself with that kind of language. That will hopefully take away some of that awkwardness.
Definitely. Thank you. And so, hurtling in to your final piece of advice.
It goes back to what we very, very first started, which is obviously part something that is relatively new to me, but I'm starting to really see the transformative benefits of it, is don't save best for best when it comes to think what you wear. Like, I am such a believer that if you have your favorite dress, but you only ever wear it to celebrations and parties, if it does work in another context, put it on. Like, we all have these wonderful garments that maybe, I'll save that for a like special occasion. The special occasion could be Monday morning, quite frankly. And sometimes we need that boost. And often that item might be a really special item. It maybe costs quite a lot of money. It may be your favorite best color. It may fit beautifully. Don't save it. Like, clothes just want to be worn. And I honestly, this is kind of all related to the work I do with SmartWorks, which is dressing women for job interviews. And if anyone here is kind of looking for work and they have someone who can refer them into SmartWorks, they can come in and get an interview outfit for nothing. A lady two days ago when I was there, she was like, do I bring it back after I've had my interview? I'm like, no, you keep it. And then if you get the job, come back and get 5 more items. So basically we give them a capsule wardrobe. So whether you're looking for or you need some clothes, come. If you've got clothes to donate, please, please send them. And maybe that could be an amazing collaboration with Careering Into Motherhood, because, you know, those kind of clothes that we have that maybe aren't quite right for you, they don't fit anymore. Those pair of trousers have never been comfortable. I promise you, they get used and loved, and the gratitude within that space is phenomenal. But, you know, women walk out of SmartWorks 10 foot taller, and that is simply changing out of leggings and trackies and trainers into a tailored shift dress. Like, we've got Victoria Beckham, Ralph Lauren. I mean, the brands are stunning and it makes you feel amazing. And we've got those clothes in our wardrobe. So don't save best for best. Just wear it and enjoy it and accept the compliments that you get. And honestly, that in itself for confidence will make you feel so good.
It's so true. I have loved this interview. I've loved talking to you. Thank you very much indeed, Emily. And we will put all the notes where people can find out more about you. But also, I'd love to talk to you further about collaborating with SmartWorks. They're such a great charity. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Lots of great stuff there from Emily. That star model is really, really good advice. As Emily said, for preparing for an interview or writing a CV, situation, task, action, and result. You can find out more about working with Emily on our website under the Partner Coaches tab and in our Facebook group. I'll be back in a couple of weeks with more guest interviews, and you can find heaps of coaching advice and expertise and tools on our website, www.careeringintomotherhood.com. I usually forget to ask this, but if you're enjoying this series, can you please, please leave a review? I love reading the comments that we have, but it really helps us to reach more women if we can have a regular flow of comments and reviews. Thank you once again. I'm Jane Johnson.